This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. It's good to be with you. We are a week away from the big one, the big day. And we're talking about voting today. Of course, we're going to be talking about that for the rest of the week, leading into next week. Then we're going to be on the other side of it. Like, whatever you want to have happen, you can affect outcome right now by taking someone to come to go vote or to talking to someone while you're voting the way you are. And then after next week, whatever the results are, at least for some amount of time.
What is Wednesday going to be like in your head if we walk in and have to go, well, President Kamala Harris is going to be addressing the nation, or President-elect Kamala Harris?
I don't know, because when Donald Trump won in 2016, I realized through the night when things started to turn a little bit and look like Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania or whatever it was that he won. And I remember thinking, well, don't tease me. And then as the night went on, we're like, is it possible he's actually going to win the election? Because we were at the radio station. I covered it with all the people when we were over at the Powerhouse, and I was the digital brand manager of the station. I had my weekend show. So I had been in the thick of it from a weekend standpoint, and then I was a support staff for the rest of the show and or the station. And we like slowly had our eyes open over the passing hours of the night. And at the end, I think at 2 o'clock, Trump had come out one something in the morning. Trump came out and kind of declared victory, and Hillary Clinton didn't come out, and John Podesta came out and he's like, everybody go home and get some rest. Like, yeah, okay. And then the next day, Donald Trump was president-elect, and then everybody was losing their mind and talking about impeachment and electors changing their votes and everything. I mean, how quickly we forget how much they did not accept the results of those elections from day one in 2016. And then in 2020, I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching results come in just like everyone else did. They were shutting down counting and everything. And I think at that time Trump was leading. And I just remember being on the live stream going, I don't feel very good about this. Like, I am not going to bed feeling good about this. I'm starting to feel really icky about it. And that ick feeling is still here in my heart. This very moment. I know what that felt like. And I'm taking that into the next one. I'm not going to get the ick. I have it. I would like to cleanse myself of it.
You'd like to have it washed. The moment I remember is not 2016 election night. I remember that too. I remember actually sitting in my parents' house because I wasn't working here yet. 2018 I started here.
Were you in other radio?
No, that was when I was doing TV. And I was doing national TV, so it wasn't, there was nothing like for me to locally cover. I remember sitting in my parents' house watching the New York Times dial, the little ticker thing that goes either left or right, and they were all the big ones were going right. And I'm like, what the heck? This is New York Times. That was crazy. But it wasn't until January 20th of 2017, Inauguration Day, that I remember thinking, oh, this actually is going to be different. Because I was watching it at work at the studio that I worked at with a bunch of coworkers. I had no idea. I knew some of them were on the political scale because, you know, you have your buddies that you talk to. The other ones, you're like, I have no idea what these people are thinking right now. I'm watching him give his inauguration speech. And usually that's where a president comes along and goes, it's time for me to be a president for Democrats and Republicans. He didn't say that. He didn't give a disunity speech. He just said the same things that he was saying in the campaign. He's like, look, we're going to build the wall. We're going to get this stupid economy running again. You know, stuff like that. You're like, that's not usually what a president says on Inauguration Day.
And he said that stuff, and he did that stuff. And Joe Biden came in when he was elected, and he gave the unity baloney sausage speech, and we are now as divided, if not more divided, than we ever were when he first came into office.
Yes.
Do you want platitudes? Do you want somebody who makes you feel good inside that you can snuggle up to like a soft little puppy and you love them? Or do you want somebody who says, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to make this happen? That's going to be the case. And then they come into the office and instead of like giving you the soft buttery stuff, they're like, let's get to freaking work. That's what Donald Trump did. And he never took the time to be like, oh, all you American voters, I love all of you so much. He didn't do that because he doesn't.
He doesn't
care in that capacity. He cares about the thing, the job that he's being sent there to do. Going back to what we played yesterday from Chris Cuomo, where Chris Cuomo was like, people who vote for Donald Trump are not the same as Donald Trump. They're sending Donald Trump into a dirty place to do a dirty job, and they want him to go be the kind of person who can get the job done in a dirty, dirty place. And I thought, wow, Chris Cuomo, you don't say. Kamala Harris sat down with Shannon Sharp. What do you guys know about Shannon Sharp?
Tight end, football player.
Yeah, football Americano. That's what I know. Shannon Sharp, you know, I mean, just
iconic. Did you know that Shannon Sharp was a man?
Yeah, of course. Irish. Shannon.
Can't confirm or deny.
I think he was a tight end on the Broncos whenever they won those two Super Bowls back to back.
He has a podcast, and Kamala Harris.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Super into, yes. I that's the only thing you didn't know?
I mean, I knew all about, actually, I would have said Broncos. I wasn't sure.
Shush.
I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this like
did
a joke.
Did you know he had a brother?
No.
Okay.
This sounds like a joke setup. Okay.
No, his brother
Kamala
Sterling
Harris
Sharp.
Goes on
part
his
what we
podcast.
Have to help people understand is don't think you're in Donald Trump's club. You're not.
Right.
He's not going to be thinking about you. You think he's having you over for dinner?
Is Kamala Harris having us over for dinner?
That was my next question.
What? That doesn't even make sense. And I just want to point out here, Madam Vice President, when you talk about how Donald Trump's not having you over for dinner, Donald Trump has had thousands of people over for dinner at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, actually, that's what he's been doing for 4 years.
He's like literally has people over for dinner
all the time.
We know people who have gone over there to have dinner. Kamala Harris, who have you had dinner with? All I know about your dinners is that when you have dinners with other fancy, famous, or powerful people, you make your staff prepare you to make sure you know where the right forks are because you're nervous to have a sit-down dinner with other people. So Kamala Harris's plea in front of Shannon Sharp about people who are looking at Donald Trump is to say you're not in the same club. He's not having you over for dinner. What the hell is that? That doesn't make any sense.
Even the larger point that she's making is that Trump is just not very identifiable, as if she is this person
who grew up in a middle class house.
Just connects with people on such
where
a visceral level.
People care about their lawns.
What is this? What is this thing that she's doing here in this clip where she goes, he's not gonna have you over for dinner? Like, where does this come from? You want to talk about being in a club?
Part of what we have to help people understand is don't think you're in Donald Trump's club. You're not.
Right.
You're not.
He's not gonna be thinking about you. You think he's having you over for dinner?
Maybe he would have us for dinner.
I would go to have dinner with him before I would go to have dinner with her. And then there's this on black support.
Blacks for Trump. Mm-hmm. They feel that Trump is better for the black community. Can you explain the Donald Trump's history with blacks? Where did this come that all of a sudden, I mean, it's been like this because a lot of people used to say, I'm
Shannon Sharp, who is a black man, can't even hardly say, like, why is it that black men are supporting Donald Trump? He can't get through the sentence because it's so difficult for these individuals to understand the idea that they're black people are not just a voting monolith, that they think individual. Go back to what we talked to with Kevin Schmidt earlier today. He's like, the issues that are facing voters, they seem to be very similar. No matter the skin color, they have a lot of the same concerns, and the government currently isn't meeting
them. Blacks for Trump. They feel that Trump is better for the black community. Can you explain the Donald Trump's history with blacks? Where did this come that all of a sudden, I mean, it's been like this because a lot of people used to say, I'm Donald Trump or the ghetto, because he was, I mean, for a lot of blacks, not all, but for some blacks, he was, Madam VP, whether we want to admit it or not, he's revered by some blacks.
But here's the thing. The question for everybody, should he be president of the United States?
Okay.
Right? That's the question.
She doesn't say any of the last consonants on words. Anyway.
Should he have the ability to sit behind the seal of the President of the United States when he says he wants to terminate the Constitution of the United States? You know what that would mean? In the Constitution of the United States is your Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable search and seizure, your Fifth Amendment right, your Sixth Amendment right to an attorney.
Well, a lot of rights going to be gone. The First Amendment.
But the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Yes. Look, I'm in favor of the Second Amendment. I don't believe we should be taking anybody's guns away.
Yeah. You actually said you should. You actually said you would. And also, if you listen to Kamala Harris, but you pretend she's the drunk bridesmaid giving the toast, then it makes a lot more sense.
The question for everybody, should he be president of the United States?
Should he even be the groom of this bride? Let me tell you a few things about that. He doesn't believe in watching The Bachelor. He doesn't believe that there should be Taco Tuesday. I don't even think he's the right guy. He's not having you over for dinner.
Listen. I was going to give a certain speech about the bride tonight. Here's that speech.
Preach, Kamala.
You got me going on Donald Trump now. Now I can talk about Donald Trump. Now I got a great dinner tonight.
You imagine seeing her at a party like that, or like if she's the drunk bridesmaid, where she's got her drink in her hand that she's so far into the night that she doesn't even drink it anymore. She just bumps into people and spills it on people and says inappropriate things or things that don't make sense. That, like, it sounds like she's continuing the conversation from the last people she was talking to with the next people in the room.
And then is distracted by, oh, are those sliders?
Yeah.
Hey, come back here. I'm gonna grab some shrimp.
Like to cook, right? That's all I know about her. You know, she likes to cook.
The weird argument that she's making is that, can you imagine this guy being the president of the United States? What in the world would that be like?
The Constitution of the United States. And listen, I know people. I know people allege that she drinks. I have no idea if she drinks anything.
Yeah, we don't know.
I have no idea. But that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, right there it does.
And she's sitting here talking to Shannon Sharpe, who is famous because he was an athlete and is a sports commentator or whatever. Good that she's going on the podcast. I don't care that she's on the podcast.
I'm glad she's doing interviews.
I don't care that she's there. We can get more opportunity to hear from her, learn about her, whatever. But every time she goes out, she fortifies the thing that I thought about her before. And that's that she detests Donald Trump. If she had the substance, I said this earlier in the show, if she had the substance, if she had the answer to earn your vote, you would know exactly what that answer is, because that would be the thing she's harping on the entire time through her campaign. And all it is Trump bad. And people are like, Trump may be bad, but Kamala Harris, your economy is worse. Trump may be bad, but what you've done to our southern border, Kamala Harris, is worse. Trump may be bad, but what you've done to our free speech rights, you've censored our ability to have our own thoughts and opinions. You have labeled Christians as domestic terrorists. What you have done over and over and over again, Kamala Harris, in the administration that you are currently serving in the White House, is worse. Because what I remember about when Donald Trump was the president of the United States, things were better. Donald Trump might not be the greatest man of all time, the G-man. He may not be the most pure, upstanding, completely polished politician that's ever walked the face of the earth. But you aren't either. You aren't that either. You don't have that to offer the voters. What does Kamala Harris have to offer the voters? She's got nothing. A very, very flawed man in Donald Trump, who doesn't put himself out there as if he isn't flawed. He is aware of his flaws, and I would say this is one of his flaws. He doesn't really apologize for them. But what's the sense in going out and apologizing to everybody all the time when you've had billions of dollars and a priceless lapdog media that has made it their point to make sure that people who, at this point, I'm kind of wondering, like, it's kind of like small-minded to only view Donald Trump through the way that the media has programmed you to think of Donald Trump. your hatred, your disdain for this person is manufactured. You've been programmed to only think about him as somebody who is evil, and you've discarded the facts that he's actually been good for America. And your heart and your feelings and your emotions have overtaken your mental capacity to process real factual data and information. And you're going to go out and vote for Kamala Harris because she don't make you feel as bad as scary Donald Trump? No.
That in that one clip, she's such a hypocrite. She talks about the amendments to the Constitution.
The First Amendment.
She talks about the First Amendment. She talks about the second one. I think she jumps to the fourth one, and she talks about unreasonable search and seizures. She talks about the Sixth Amendment. Look, just that one. Look, all the other ones, she's on record as saying the opposite thing of what she's saying now. The sixth one, her administration is currently holding people from 4 years ago for political purposes from January 6th, which they are currently using as a campaign strategy and not giving them a trial. She is breaking the Constitution as she says, my predecessor and possible next president will do this. I won't.
Let's go back to the First Amendment. It was her administration. It was the administration she was part of that tried to create that Ministry of Truth that actively worked.
The most Orwellian thing in the history of time.
Actively worked. Her administration's FBI actively worked with social media companies to suppress and remove information that was not beneficial to their party. They didn't think about doing it. They did it. Missouri's currently in a lawsuit with them over this sort of thing. They actively took away First Amendment rights from people. They actively did it. And then she's like, also, I'm for the Second Amendment. Don't even, no.
You are not.
You own a Glock. Woo. Guns for me, not for thee. I don't buy it, Kamala. You've said that people don't need assault weapons. You've always been about assault weapons ban. She said, I'm not for confiscation. I'm for a mandatory buyback. That's called a compensated confiscation. You, as the gun owner, don't have a choice. They're like, give me your gun, and I'll give you some money just to make it not feel so bad. That's a confiscation. It doesn't matter if you call it a buyback or not. You're taking it without me having the choice of doing it.
Oh, by the way, that's also an unreasonable seizure.
Yeah, there you go.
So you're breaking another amendment by doing it.
But Donald Trump's the threat? Donald Trump's the threat. He's the one that's going after
Brad,
the Constitution.
You and I are coming back in the next segment, and here's what we're going to talk about.
Hey, you keep going. I'm just listening, and I'm like, yeah.
But he said you got to suspend the Constitution.
Donald Trump's going to do all this stuff that we're doing.
I mean, jeez. But to sum all of this up, they're not okay.
No.
If you look at all, I'm not okay
right now.
I know that, but if you look at all of the people who are reacting right now to this moment, people know that Kamala's not okay. They know it. And people are, for whatever particular reason, moving towards Donald Trump. And the early voting numbers look good for the Republican Party. I've said this before. I'm going to say this probably every day leading up to the election. If you have 100 voters and 90 of those voters are going to now early vote instead of vote on Election Day, and only 10 voters show up on Election Day, you still have 100 votes. So I'm not going to get too excited. You don't come here for like just overt optimism. You got the wrong show. Realism. And I think realistically, things are looking up. It's nice to feel a little bit of hope. And I'm like, hope, I've acknowledged you. Now you go sit in the corner. I know where you are. I'll come get you when it's time.
I can see you over there. You look pretty.
Yeah, you just sit still.
Yeah, but you wait.
Turn around and face the wall. quick break. We'll be back in just a second. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Is up and the
follow
stock
Annie on Twitter
down,
at Annie Fry Show.
If you go downtown.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. YouTube live chat poll. Go get your votes in now. We're going to give you the results in 23 minutes. 23 minutes. That's about right. When will you vote? You've already early voted. That's what Brad said. You plan to early vote. You're going to vote on election day. I think that's what Ryan and I both said. Or you're not voting at all. I wonder if people are going to vote in today's poll that they're not voting at all.
That would be ironic.
Thanks for saying it in a really sarcastic way. We talked in the last segment about Kamala Harris being on Shannon Sharpe's podcast. There are a few other clips that we can play from that. But how much of the Joe Rogan Trump podcast did you guys listen to?
You know what's weird is I listened to a decent amount of it through clips, but I really read about it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know why I chose to take it in that way.
I'm a little over halfway through it. I've been listening on 1.5 speed, and that helps me get through it a little bit quicker.
Yeah. I've listened to 35 minutes of it, and then I had to live life.
Can I tell you why I knew it was a good interview? Because reading about it all day Sunday, I couldn't really find anybody quoting something really negative or great. It was, and that's 3 hours of talking.
Yeah.
Of sit down straight talking.
Yes. No commercials or whatever. It is just straight talking, as far as I know. I mean, did they do breaks at all on Rogan?
No.
I don't think they did either. So it is just conversation constant, which I don't know how you do for 3 hours, but the mainstream media outlets had to cover it because it was a big deal, and they could not find an angle, which means all the headlines were Trump blathers for 3 hours.
Yep. And said the same thing that they don't like to begin with. Joe Rogan commented on an X post because people were asking, like, is Kamala Harris going to do Rogan's podcast? Is she going to do it? Well, it turns out that the Harris campaign, there were reports yesterday, I think, that Joe Rogan said, I'm not doing an interview with you. That Joe Rogan turned Kamala Harris down. That's not accurate. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly what happened. Joe Rogan wrote on an X post, also, for the record, the Harris campaign has not passed on doing the podcast. They offered, this is the Harris campaign, offered a date for Tuesday, but I would have had to travel to her, and they only wanted to do an hour. I strongly feel the best way to do it is in the studio in Austin. My sincere wish is just to have a nice conversation and get to know her as a human being. I really hope we can make it happen. And that was last night at 11:26 p.m. So that's pretty fresh. So you've got a scenario here where Joe Rogan is saying, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it on the same terms that I did it with Donald Trump. We're going to do it in my studio, in my house, because that's kind of the way this works. Like, again, going back to what I said multiple times earlier on the show, Kamala Harris is constantly sticking her hand out to shake hands with new people saying, it's so nice for you to meet me. Kamala Harris needs to go where the people are, and the people are on the Joe Rogan Experience. That is the truth of the matter. How many? 36 million? I wonder what the total is up to right now on the Donald Trump Joe Rogan episode. It's reached 30 something million people. And Kamala Harris is like, only on these terms. That is so disrespectful, not to Joe Rogan, but to the people who listen to Joe Rogan, who she wants to access. It's not Joe Rogan. Listen, when people come and talk to me on this much, much smaller and less influential media product than Joe Rogan, when people come on the Annie Fry Show, when Kevin Schmidt is coming into studio earlier on the show, he's trying to replicate his victory in 2022. Kevin Schmidt's working his ass off in the 114th district, state district, in the state of Illinois. He's talking to people. He's canvassed the whole thing. When he comes on to this show, he's not coming on to see me. He's coming on to talk to you. I am a mechanism with which he can reach people. Yes, I have the platform, but I am not the thing of value here. You are the thing of value. And the only way that I can do a successful radio show is that if I always remember that you are the thing of value. My job, my purpose in life on this show is to serve you, is to provide you with informative, entertaining ways to pass 3 hours in the afternoon. If I disrespect you and I make this whole thing about me, you are so not going to listen to me anymore. You're going to change the station. If you've ever listened to somebody on the radio, if you've ever been interested in a personality on the radio, and maybe they've been there for a long time, and then they start, then it starts to feel like it's a little bit more about them and a little bit less about you. Those people are usually on their way to retirement, and they're just kind of, they're going until it doesn't go anymore. But the difference in that passion, the understanding that the gift of the opportunity to have a microphone or a platform is to communicate with real people who really matter. Kamala Harris is basically setting up a scenario where either A, she doesn't have to do it and it doesn't happen at all, or B, the power move to say, I'm only going to do a third of what Donald Trump did and you're going to have to come to me. So disrespectful to the Joe Rogan Experience listeners.
It's true because you have the dichotomy of the president, former president, doing it right now. And people going, look, she's the vice president of the United States. She's more important than you are, Joe Rogan. You can't go to her. She's in a campaign. The president of the United States is also in a campaign, the former president. So that's a stupid comparison, first of all. And then second, Joe Rogan, call her out. She's not going to do this thing. Say whatever. Like, Joe should say, yeah, okay, you name the time and the place. We'll see if we can make it work. And I guarantee you that campaign is going to go, ah, shoot, that time won't work. And then it'll get shorter and shorter. It'll become a half hour. This isn't going to happen.
She doesn't want to do it.
No way she wants to do this.
She shortened the interview with Bret Baier.
And showed up late.
And they cut it off early.
That's exactly what'll happen here.
If she sent, because that way she gets to control the time. If things go bad, they're like, oh, man, this came up. We got to go. And she could just bail on them, which would be a disaster for her. So, like, the best case scenario for her is to not have to do it and then make it look like he wouldn't do it.
Have you seen the people on, I watched, there was an episode that Joe Rogan uploaded after the Trump, and it was him and his buddies or whoever, probably his producers or something, talking about the Trump interview. They were reacting to it, and they were going hard on Kamala Harris. They were not saying flattering things, and most of it is because they were saying about Donald Trump, like, he sat there for 3 hours and had a conversation. They said at one point, I think Rogan said, he goes, he didn't even get up to pee.
That's what's impressive.
Like, he just sat there for 3 hours and they had a conversation and it flowed. And it, you know, there was no like, all right, at this time we're going to talk about this and then we're going to move to this subject. It was just a conversation. And when I was listening to it, I said I listened about the first 35 minutes. Donald Trump gave like a detailed history of Abraham Lincoln. And I was thinking, like, I don't really need to know this stuff for the election, but I'm pretty impressed that you know this much stuff about Abraham Lincoln.
And it's weird to say this about retelling history, but it's a new item. It's not the same thing that you've heard him do at this podcast and this speech and this rally. He's just there spitballing and giving you new elements of who Donald Trump is.
Yeah.
That's why the
depth.
Alternative media right now is so important, because he does a rally at Madison Square Garden. He does Joe Rogan Experience. Again, watching these things through the lens of mainstream media, people are up in arms about whatever they can find. And with the Joe Rogan thing, they couldn't really find anything. But that's so many people. You said it was 36 million people or
Ethan
plus.
Ethan reported to us. He said he watched pretty much the entire thing. We're going to ask Ethan about that in the next segment, because he's going to give us the poll results. But he said 38 million views right now just on YouTube. They put it on Twitter last night at 11:21 p.m. It's got 8.8 million views now there.
So that's, doing math roughly, that's about 47 that's about 15% of the entire U.S. population has watched that interview. And that includes non-voting age children. So
they don't have to be in America.
Well, that's true. But that's a lot of people to watch one podcast.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to go on Shannon Sharpe's podcast because you want to reach people, Joe Rogan has more people. Let's take a quick break. Ethan will come in and give us the results at the end of the next segment to the YouTube live chat poll. When will you vote? Go tell us on our Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Have you already voted? Do you plan to early vote? Are you going to vote on Election Day, or you're not voting at all? We'll be right back. Good old tomatoes and tracks before impact. And just like fashion, it's a passion. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We're going to get to the YouTube live chat poll results here in a minute at the end of the show. So go vote right now and tell us, when will you vote? Did you already early vote? Do you plan to early vote? You going to vote on election day or you're not voting at all? Go give us a vote and that poll. It's located on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Ethan, you said that, did you say you watched the whole thing?
Pretty much.
The whole Trump, Joe Rogan interview?
Yes.
And what was your takeaway from that?
It was so well done. So well done. I think that it was, I mean, Joe Rogan did an excellent job. We finally got to see Donald Trump be in a extended period interview where he wasn't on the full defense.
That really matters, too.
You know, we've talked a lot about getting to know him as a person. And I think we saw a lot of what people talk about when they see Donald Trump behind the scenes in that podcast. He was funny. He definitely had some remarks and stuff, like some passive aggressive remarks against Kamala and different people, but it was funny. The job that Rogan did interviewing him, I thought was really good, especially at the beginning when he was asking about, okay, what was it like when you first got there? And Trump did not really answer the question two or three times in a row when he asked, and he wasn't saying it in a rude way or cutting him off. He was allowing him to speak, but he was making sure that Trump understood the question that he was trying to ask. They covered so many different topics, things that matter to Americans. I thought that it was very well done, and I'm looking forward to, at some point, they kind of teased, like Trump said, that he would come back on to talk about everything involving the 2020 election. Ooh. And when he said that, I was like, oh man, that would be awesome to hear that one too. So
one of the things early on in the interview, at least this is the part that I heard, was Trump was talking about kind of that lead into him winning the election and becoming the president of the United States. And he was, Joe Rogan made some comment about how Trump gets the headlines or whatever. And Trump starts talking about, he's like, you know, I just say things and people pay attention. He goes, I don't know why the media is obsessed with me. And Joe Rogan goes, it's because you say crazy crap. Anyway, he didn't say crap. But he's like, I thought, yeah, like he's not really calling out Donald Trump, but he is acknowledging that Trump, you say some whack stuff sometimes, and not whack necessarily as in right versus wrong, but just like, who says that out loud? You know, like what politician comes onto the main stage and talks like that? In 2016, we hadn't seen it before. And it really is something to behold, to look at how successfully Donald Trump was able to come in as a non-politician and one by one pick off all of those very, very long-term politicians and somehow become the nominee. It's pretty crazy.
It's stuff like when he spoke to the Black Journalist Conference and said, yeah, you know, she kind of like has changed her race. People have said that, you know, about Kamala. You're like, that's headline news.
Yeah.
And with any other politician, it's probably the end of their career. With him, he's like, yeah, I mean, that. And then you find out, that's what's crazy. You find out later, when you listen to an MSNBC panel of Black female voters, they go, yeah, when he said that, that really resonated with me. And you're like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the responses so far to what I think is the polls, and when you're watching people in the media react to the current moment of time we're in, yeah, we can all look at polls, we can see what the polls say, we can pay attention to all that, but then you see people like Whoopi Goldberg reacting in this moment in time, and it makes you feel a certain kind of way as to how this election is going.
He's talking about you, it's us. He's not going to, you know, say, oh, you're with a white guy, I'm going to keep you from being deported. No, he's going to deport you and put the white guy with someone else. The man is out there.
He's also, can I?
She just said that Donald Trump is going to separate people who are in interracial marriages so that he can put white people with white people.
I was wondering if that's what I was hearing, because I didn't get the context of what she was talking about.
The deportation comments that Donald Trump is making about being willing to deport people. Listen, if you came here illegally and you are here illegally, that's a you thing. Now, what happens next? I understand that what happens next is going to be heartbreaking for some people. But at the same time, I would look at the Democrats that are in charge right now. If you're somebody who's been here for years and years and years and years and decades of years, And this Biden-Harris camp has just let in a whole bunch of people, millions of people, who really, even since Obama, they kind of spoiled the whole thing for you. If you've been here, if you're one of the people at the sob stories, you know, when we talk about abortion, we only talk about rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Those are the only abortions that are happening, even though it's like 4% of the abortions that are happening.
I didn't even think it was that high.
It's teeny, teeny, tiny, which is why I always say, okay, for the sake of argument, let's allow those babies to be murdered, and let's save the other 94%, 95% of babies that are out there that are being killed for the sake of birth control. With immigration, there are the people who are just flooding here because they were told that they could come. They just were told that they could come. They, in some cases, probably don't even think they're really doing anything wrong because they say that Biden told them to come. It's happening. The Biden administration filled out, made an app for them to use. The Biden administration has sent planes for them to fly in from their home and dropped them into the middle of the country. So they probably don't entirely think that they are really that much in the wrong. Well, that's on the Democrats. That's not on the Republicans. The idea of America can't be attained if this is the way that we treat and disrespect our country. And if you're somebody here, the story we're going to hear over and over and over is, I've been here for 40 years. I raised my family here. I was brought here as a child. Well, you better put all of the responsibility on breaking the opportunity that you had to potentially earn legal status through Obama's DACA program that somehow Donald Trump actually supported it in a way. You almost had the opportunity to get a legal status here, and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have ruined the whole thing for you. Because it's like in the 60s or 70% of people who are like, they need to be deported.
Yeah.
That's not the way it was.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris and Joe Biden ruined it for all of the people who might have been able to gain some sort of legal status. In my mind, for those stories, maybe there is a legal status that can be applied with the requirement that would be a greater requirement that anybody who's in line right now to become a citizen, that maybe if you have legal status here, maybe you can attain citizenship here. But if you're somebody who is here illegally and have been granted legal status because of some, you know, DACA requirements, because you've been here since you were a child and it wasn't your choice to come here, if those people get legal status and want to become citizens, they need to like twice over prove that they understand the value of citizenship. But they don't deserve it.
It's a really good point that I've not heard anybody make, that that the country used to be pretty split on this, pretty compassionate on the Dreamers issue, and saying, look, we got to follow the law, but I get these people's position. That has been destroyed now.
Completely. The Biden-Harris camp has unified America in a way they have not been unified over this issue to say, no, we need to start over. It's gone too far. You took it too far. And it's going to ruin the party for everybody who was involved.
Yeah, that percentage of people who are pro deportation at this point is almost as high as the people who are pro voter ID. It's become bipartisan issues is what I'm saying.
It's pretty wild. You want to give us the poll results today? Oh, wait, Ethan, when are you going to vote?
I am planning on early voting.
Early voting. That's the plan. So between now and before Election Day.
That's the plan.
All right. But you'll vote on Election Day if you didn't do it beforehand.
That's the plan.
Yes, you will.
That's the plan.
I'll drive you there myself. Where are we going?
YouTube live chat poll. When will you vote? 42% have already early voted. Let's go. We love seeing that. 22% now say they plan to early vote, 34% on Election Day, and only 2% say not voting. 387 votes today.
Nice.
On the YouTube live chat.
2% of 388 people said, I'll vote in this poll, but not the election. Come on. You know you want to vote for Donald Trump. Get out there and do it. Thank you for voting. Thank you for listening to the Annie Frye Show. We're so grateful for the opportunity to talk to you each afternoon. Would you do me a favor? Would you tell somebody about our show? Would you share this election season with somebody, the Annie Frye Show? I'd be so grateful. The Mark Reardon Show, too, because it's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.